So let's dive deep. Let's do it. The only thing I know is that I don't know anything. Are you really ready to look at yourself? You are seen, you are heard, you are loved. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Cut all that out. Just say the deep dive with Adam Roa. I don't like any of that.
The Deep Dive with Adam Roa.
Hello, Deep Divers. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Deep Dive Musings. My name is Adam Roa. Before we get started, I want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Unlock Your Inner Artist. Yeah, this is my new video course that I just launched on the creative process, on creativity, and how to become a match to birth your creative ideas in the most high vibe way you possibly can so that they create the biggest impact. They are the most enjoyable to go through the creation process with. And it is really about how to live in alignment, live in the alignment of what you want to create, what you want to make, how you want to express yourself on this planet. And I'm really proud of it. You can go to unlockyourinnerartist.com for more details about that. There are only a few days left. As of the recording of this podcast, there are only a few days left to get it at a 33% discount. And the price of it is $333. It will normally be $497, but I just want to launch it with getting it into the hands of as many people as possible, people who feel aligned with the way that I create, the way in which I live, truthfully, because even as of right before this podcast, I was meditating and I was reminded that I get to live my life in a way where I am a match to the highest frequency of information that I can possibly pull through me and express out into the world. And to do that is to live in this creative process, to live the Unlock Your Inner Artist process as much as possible. And I had that pop into my space as I was meditating. And what that means, pop into my space and pop into my head. I had the idea come to me. I had my intuition speak to me, however you want to word it. But it was very clear that I get to step even further into to this way of living and way of creating in my own life. And that's a big part of the course, because part of it is me taking you behind the scenes in the creation process of my album that I created last year, and show you how I actually use the course, what it looks like for me to do it and apply it to something. And so that's a part of it. And if you're interested, you can go to adamroa.com or unlockyourinnerartist.com or Superhero Academy. And all of those are ways in which you can get your hands on it. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for being a part of this journey. You know, I'm human. I'm probably not human too. Well, who are we kidding? But I am human. And the journey of being human is not always smooth. It is not always easy, but it's pretty darn exciting. It's pretty interesting. Did I just say darn? I think I just said darn. Dang, I am. Maybe that's a sign of my age. I just had a birthday. I'm 34 now. And apparently at 34, you start saying darn. And yeah, it's Valentine's Day. It is Valentine's Day, the day in which collectively the world turns its focus on love. It's pretty cool, right? And we can talk about how Valentine's may be a corporate holiday conceived so that we can spend a bunch of money on things we don't need, and balloons and chocolates and teddy bears and all the things. But instead of focusing on that, I want to focus on an underlying energetic of this day, which is love. Love. The world collectively has love on its mind. And so think of that opportunity. Think of the opportunity that exists when millions and millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people, maybe over a billion people right now, have love on their mind and on their hearts more than any other day of the year. And I'm a big believer in festivals, wellness festivals, music festivals, art festivals. And one of the reasons I believe so strongly in festivals is that there's something special that happens when people get together and collectively believe in magic. Believe that they're going to have an amazing time. Believe that they're surrounded by humans who think the way they do. And so right now there's a collective field. There is a grid of energy. There is a consciousness present that is receptive to love. Incredibly receptive to love. And that creates such an opportunity. It creates such an opportunity for us to continue to shape and form and define what is love. Have you thought about that? Is that something that you have put any amount of energy and time into contemplating? What is love? This is such a valuable topic because my message is choose love. My YouTube show is the art of choosing love. It is something that I regularly speak about. It's something that I come back to over and over and over again. And yet, how many people actually take the time to consider the fabric of love? How many people take the time to think about what does love mean to them? In my experience, what I've noticed on this planet is most people are chasing the idea of love. And this idea of love that is being projected outward is something that most people are taking on based on advertisements and movies. The idea of love that is being crafted by advertising agencies. And today I just want to speak to what love means to me, what it looks like to me. And you may or may not resonate with that. And it is my hope that even if you don't agree with what love is to me, if what I speak about isn't necessarily your viewpoint, that's okay. But let this podcast, let my messages, let the art of choosing love, let it inspire you to sit in the question of what does love mean to me? That alone, that intention alone will create an opening in your mind. Because our conscious mind is consistently letting us know, letting our unconscious minds know what's important to us. And so if you start to ask the question, what is love to me? Your unconscious mind is going to play that game. Your unconscious mind is going to say, oh, let's start to let in bits of information about love, and you're going to say, oh, this isn't really love. And your unconscious mind is going to say, okay, noted. And because your intention is to call more love into your life, those things that aren't love are going to get filtered out. And more of your definition of love is going to be filtered in. And so let me give you my view, my high arcing basically ethos, which is love is all there is. That sounds like it belongs on a Hallmark card, or that it sounds like something some hippies have said throughout time, and yet I want to ground that in for you. You see, when I talk about love being all there is, I speak to it having given a ton, a massive amount of my time and my energy into contemplating. And so when I say love is all there is, what I mean is that right now we are surrounded by love. Every act on this planet is an act of love. You see, there's a spectrum. We live in a polarity. We live in a polarizing universe. There is contrast. When I say polarity, I mean that there are different points. And now I see polarity as a circle, and I've spoken about this on this podcast before, and so I don't want to go into that right now. What I want to focus on is recognizing that we see things as hot and cold. We see things as light and dark. We see things as love and fear. But really, there's only one thing. That spectrum, that circle of that polarity is simply one thing. And the other aspect is what we're using to describe our experience. So when I say light and dark, good and evil, hot and cold, love and fear, each of those is actually only one thing. When I say hot and cold, what I'm describing is thermal heat. I am describing a spectrum of thermal heat. And at a certain point on that spectrum, you can say it's cold. And I might say, no, it's actually not cold. It feels warm, feels good. But it's not cold. The reason why you and I can have that differing opinion is because cold is not a real thing. Cold is your experience. Thermal heat is what we are talking about. When I say something's hot, you might say, no, that's not hot. Me personally, I'm pretty sensitive to heat in my drinks and my food. And so I'll take a drink of something and be like, that is so hot, I can't drink that. And someone else will drink it and be like, oh, this is exactly how I like my tea or my coffee. Because cold and hot, they don't even exist. They describe our experience. It's thermal heat. How do we know this? We know this because when you want to warm a room, you add thermal heat. If you want to make a room more cold, you can remove thermal heat by putting in air that is carrying less of it. But you can't add cold. If you could, then when we enter into a room, we would both be aware, hey, this is cold, because cold is present. But we can enter into a room and say, wow, okay, there's 78 degrees Fahrenheit. That's describing the temperature, which is describing the amount of thermal heat that we have in the space, not the amount of cold. Not the amount of hot. When we talk about light and dark, we're talking about visible light first and foremost. When we get scientific, we're talking about visible light. And so when something's dim, we're talking about there's a very minimal amount of visible light. When the sun goes down, a minimal amount of visible light, but there is not the presence of dark. Dark is what we use to describe our experience. As our eyes fade as we get older, not to say that's a guarantee, but for many people, that's their experience. As the eyes fade, that means that there is far less sensitivity to that light, meaning when we enter into a room, I'm here right now, I'm in Florida with my parents, and when they enter into the room, they say, well, I can't read that, it's too dark. They're describing their experience of a lack of visible light that's making it hard for them to see. But someone else with really great night vision, really great eyesight, can say, no, it's not too dark. I can read. Because dark doesn't exist. There's not a presence of dark that we both can see and say, oh, yeah, dark's here. But what we're experiencing is the amount, the spectrum of visible light. And so with love and fear, it's the same thing. There is only love. Love is all there is. And at a certain point, we can see someone's actions, we can see someone's emotional state, and we say, there's no love there. We say, that's fear. And we can talk about anger, we can talk about sadness and these other emotions as being a polarizing experience to love. And the opposite of love in this context, the way we use it, is fear. And fear doesn't even really exist. Just like dark, just like cold, fear is our experience. At a certain point on the spectrum of love, we say, you know what? There's not very much love here that I'm experiencing, and so I'm going to label that as fear. I'm scared to quit my job and pursue my dreams. Why? Because I'm afraid. That experience of being afraid is your experience of a lack of love, a lack of self-love, a lack of the belief that you can accomplish anything you put your mind to. Because love is actually all there is. And so, speaking to that, love being all there is, let's take a look at something that most people would say, that's not love. That's evil. When I think about that, let's think about rape. Something that we are ready as a collective, as a human race, we are ready to put an end to rape. That no longer needs to be a part of our human experience. We have a level of consciousness, we have a level of awareness that that is not serving, and therefore we have choice, and we can choose to put an end to rape. And yet rape is an act of love in that person's experience. The person who is committing the act of rape is doing it for the reason of loving themselves. They're trying to love themselves by creating some form of connection. They're trying to love themselves by trying to satisfy an urge that they have for pleasure. They're trying to love themselves by trying to feel powerful. And do I think it's misguided? Absolutely. I'm not sitting here and saying, oh, that's an act of love, so it's okay. Absolutely not. But what I am saying is that love is all there is. Let's take one of the deepest examples of this that is often triggering for people. People get upset sometimes when I bring this up, which is Hitler and the Holocaust. This man led a movement to kill millions and millions of people, focused on exterminating Jews from the planet, destroying Jewish artwork to eliminate all traces. And why did he do this? He did this because the best way he could figure out how to love himself and love this planet was to create the world that he thought would be better for everyone, would be better for himself. And to accomplish the vision he had for that world, to love himself, it looked like killing all of those innocent people. Again, this is not condoning that. This is not me saying that is okay. Absolutely not. But I'm giving you a perspective that may open up the opportunity. It might open up a sliver of possibility for you to see the most evil acts on this planet as acts of love. Because if you can do that, if you can see someone who has wronged you, if you can see someone who has taken advantage of you or abused you, if you can see your victimizer through the lens of love, it opens the door to all the potential that love holds: forgiveness, happiness, joy, the transmutation of energy. Just the other day, I had someone send me messages on Instagram letting me know that they thought I was fake, letting me know that they thought I was, all I cared about was money, that I wasn't qualified to teach anyone about anything, that I was a con artist. They even became racist, told me I was just a little Asian boy looking to feel big. And I could see that person who was attacking me through the lens of love. That person was doing what they thought was making the world a better place by calling me out, by letting me know what they really thought. That person was making themselves feel better because in their mind, they were standing up for their truth. They were loving themselves in that moment by trying to put me in my place. And I could have chosen to get incredibly upset. I could have chosen to fight. Said, this person is so misguided. They're a terrible person. They shouldn't even be on the planet. I should put them in their place. And yet, because I recognize that love is all there is, I look at it through the lens of, where's the love? How are they trying to love themselves? And because of that, I'm now able to forgive. I'm able to have compassion. I'm able to have empathy. Whereas if I exist in the space of the judgment and I see it as an act of evil or an act of hatred, I say, wow, screw this person. And I don't have the opportunity to transmute it because I'm viewing them, I'm holding them in the space of the energy, like the low vibrational energy that is not actually what I want on this planet. What I desire on this planet is those higher vibrational frequencies. I desire that. And therefore, I get to emit it as often as possible. And I get to see everyone I come in contact with through that lens. And how that happened, because I was coming from the space of love, I said, okay, maybe there's something I can't see. Maybe they're on to something that's being reflected back to me. Let me explore this further. And I asked some questions and I gained more information and I offered to have them on my Instagram live to discuss this, to have a conversation about it. Did she take me up on it? No. She ignored me. And that's when I realized this person is not actually interested in having a conversation about it. This person just wants to make themselves feel better by attacking me for whatever reason. And there are definitely reasons there. And that's the next step. It's like, okay, we can go into what those reasons are. But first, the first step is an understanding that there are reasons and those reasons are based in love. That is the best way that that person could love themselves in that moment, sending hurtful messages to me. And what I did is I got on Instagram and I did a live video where I talked about this and I spoke about it. I spoke about what it meant to have a hater attacking me and how I approached it. And what that led to was thousands of people seeing that Instagram live and thousands of people receiving my frequency around it, which was not the low vibe, the fight, the anger. It was taking the high road, if you will, choosing to exist in that space of love. And people had an opportunity. I had so many people write to me and say, I'm really impressed with how you handled this. What that means to me is that there were people there taking notice, those people taking notice that you can be attacked by someone and still choose love. So there's ripples, because those people now, whenever they're in this a situation like that, they have the awareness that something else is possible than immediately going into the defensive and insulting each other and fighting. There's a different reference point for people. And that different reference point opens up all of that possibility. The next time that they are faced with someone who is saying rude things to them, they can remember, oh yeah, I don't have to act a certain way. I can choose to act in love and see this person with love. And so what the hater did by sending me those messages ultimately is created ripples of love out into the world. And that is possible because I'm holding that frequency. That is possible because I'm seeing them with love. I'm speaking with love. I'm sharing with love. And it will elevate this planet. Think about it this simply. If you were to assign a numeric value to the different emotions, there's a great book called Power Versus Force. And in it, he does muscle testing to determine a numerical system for different emotions, with, you know, the higher vibe ones being love and joy and bliss, and the lower vibe ones being shame and guilt and anger and sadness. And that numerical value that's assigned, if you were to assign that to just the world and said, okay, right now the world's at 50. Out of 100, the world's at 50. How do you think we raise that? We raise that by getting the average to come up, which means the more people that are holding a 60, it will impact the global average. So where are you holding it? What is the numerical value on this scale of 0 to 100? What are you holding? When someone attacks you, when someone insults you, when someone triggers you, do you drop down into, this person is my enemy? This person will never learn. I hate this person. Are you holding those vibes? Because if you are, then you are contributing to a lower average. And yet, if we can be in contact with people who are holding that lower density, and we can hold our higher vibe, there will be an average that's impacted on this planet. And it's not about changing that one person. It's not about, this is this person interacting with me, they're the ones, I need to change them, I need to fix them, they're broken, or any of that. This is simply about understanding, if you can hold a high vibe, it will impact the average on this planet through everything you say and everything you do. All there is love. Every single act on this planet is an act of love. And our roles as light workers, our role in this as people who are committed to elevating the frequency of this planet, who are committed to creating a more loving world, those of us who are committed to that, our role in that is to transmute those lower frequencies into higher frequencies through our way of being. And we don't have to think about how to do that. We don't have to worry about how to do that. What we get to do is continue to show up in love, as love, and act to allow love to move through us, to be the lens that we wear, so that when we interact with someone else, we are elevating the average in that interaction. Think about the number of people that you interact with on a weekly basis. If you were the person who was holding an 80 or a 90 on that scale of 0 to 100, then the majority of people you come in contact with, you will elevate their average. You will elevate the average of this planet. And that starts by understanding the importance of the frequency you're holding, in understanding that no matter how dark it might seem, love is there, love is present. It has to be, because it is all there is. And that's what I'm committed to. Right now, I'm committed to holding the highest frequency of love I possibly can, and trusting that that will inspire me. It will inspire me to do this podcast. It will inspire me to make the Art of Choosing Love show. It will inspire me to write new poetry. I trust that. I lean into that. And over time, my life has continued to expand in the most beautiful ways. I have continually received the feedback just through my own reality that this works. The way that I used to be received by people when I went out, it looked a certain way. It was never bad, but it looked a certain way. And now it's completely different. And that's not because of the art that I've created. It's because of who I am that is capable of creating the art. That's the entire basis for my new video course. Unlock Your Inner Artist is about how do you become a match, a frequency match to the highest potential vibe of your creative process, of your creative expression. How can you become the highest vibe version of yourself? And that will continue to shift, and that will continue to change, but it will continue to be an average. We are the sum of our parts. We are an average. The frequency you hold is the middle ground between all the things that you think you are capable of and all the things that you think that you're not. All the ways you think you're a good person, all the ways you think that you're not. That averages out into your aura, your field, your energy, your frequency, your mood, your characteristics, the action that you take. When you believe that you can do something and you have that level of self-confidence and self-love, when you believe that that is possible, you will walk through the world and you will see more possibility than if you believe that you can't do things. Both of those are true. If you believe that you can, then you can. If you believe that you can't, then you can't. I am so excited to be able to speak this to you and know that you're hearing this, and know that at this moment, right now, you have choice. What's the vibe that you are holding? What is the numerical value? If you're going to assign it, are you at a 10? Are you at a 50? Are you at 100? We get to be the change that we wish to see on this planet. And so I want to remind you of your power. I want to remind you of how important you are to the shift that's happening on this planet. Every decision you make that is out of alignment is taking away from the potential impact that exists by you being in your highest state. So, the choice is yours. From this moment forward, are you elevating the average, or are you bringing it down? Is your goal simply to just draw even and fit in, get in where you fit in? Or are you taking a stand for a new way of being? You're doing a great job. You're listening to this, and I appreciate that so much. You have the opportunity to spread this, and that's a way of elevating the planet. If this has been beneficial to you, it's beneficial to the spread of this message if you share it, if you post it to your Instagram story, if you leave a review on iTunes, in whatever way you want to spread this, even if you're just going to synthesize this down into your own words and have a conversation with the people you love about it. But I want to empower you. I want you to know how much influence you have on the world. You do. You are impacting it in each and every single moment. So, again, gratitude in my heart for you being on this journey, being so committed to helping get us to that space where rape isn't a thing, where genocide isn't a thing. And today on Valentine's Day, where people are receptive to love in an entirely new way, it is my invitation to you to spread that love, to embody that love as much as possible. And no matter what, I want to remind you that always, in all ways, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved.